Blog Talk Radio.
Facebook today, and talks about five states that have already started to screw around.
But this is, gay marriage, gutting the Civil Rights Act of 1965, denying an individual's right to remain silent. The illustrious U.S. Supreme Court has made several odd decisions recently. Their first this week was to gut the Civil Rights Act of its basic protections against voter discrimination. Their excuse for that is saying it is out of date and is irrelevant today because there is no discrimination today, as Roberts said that. What a moron. And the southern states that have had long history of discrimination against blacks and minorities immediately applauded this decision and eagerly began to placing restrictions on voters in their states. Our Supreme Court is made up of a majority of supreme idiots. The second major decision by the Supreme Court was announced today. They gave federal recognition to gay marriages. I have to laugh at the absurdity of the Supreme Court's logic. They deny discrimination in a country, exists, then give all gay people the right to legally marry and have all the equality under the law that heterosexual couples have. Even though gay marriage is still banned in 35 states and will remain banned in spite of the federal recognition. It makes no sense. Just as the Supreme Court made no sense giving corporations the same status as individuals in the election, in political elections a couple of years back. The illustrious court also recently decided that silence can no longer be part of a legal defense, regardless of the Fifth Amendment stating one has the right not to incriminate himself in the court of law. We are in such trouble in this country. Our courts are insane. Our government is made up of greed-driven corporate lackeys, blackmailed by the NSA and bribed by big corporations. And our president is a dictator entering our military into undeclared wars, assassinating American citizens, illegally spying on American citizens, and allowing his banker cronies to steal from the U.S. Treasury. As the American people remain apathetic, jobless, homeless, ignorant, and helpless. But hey, gay people can get married now. Man, I tell you, it gets worse and worse. But if you don't believe me, I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can play this because I don't know if the speakers are loud enough to get it, but I'm going to try. This is a speech done by Ron Paul. It's called America is Gone. It's a Ron Paul speech, made in Congress. Ron Paul is right. It has been throughout his career in Congress. Unfortunately, no one listened to him until it was too late. This is a sad eulogy for a once great country, with a new amnesty bill, new wars, new lies and cover-ups, and the economic collapse. We now know how everything, this current administration and the previous administrations and Congresses, have sold out the American people. However, the greatest offenses of treason were not committed by our government. They were committed by the American people against themselves. Through their apathy and blind ignorance and faith in a two-party political system and the horrid leaders they allowed to lead us. It may be too late for America. It may be too late for the world. Our last hope for freedom and just government lies with us. We must act now to wake up to what is happening and stop biddling with iPhones and iPads and stating idiotic mantras of America is great, America is righteous, America is free. The America we know and loved is gone and will never again be restored unless Americans unite in patriotic rage and take back their country and reestablish the rights we have lost. By ridding the White House and the Congress of crooks and thieves and traitors, and rid the Supreme Court of corporate-owned lackeys, we can do it. But we must understand what is happening to us. Unless we do awaken and resist, we will become broken spirits, broken people, who will not be able to resist our oppressors. I'm going to attempt to play this thing. I don't know if we can. I'm going to attempt to play this Ron Paul speech. And everything's going well tonight, folks. For some reason, I can't get into play. Well, we'll just pass on that. Know that you can get it on. You can check it. It's about a 5-minute speech that he gave to Congress. And I'm really sorry I can't get it tonight. The America is gone. And it's on YouTube, Ron Paul's speech in Congress. Check it out. I played this last night, and I want to play it again because this was Credo Matwa, the shaman, who gave a prophetic prophecy.
An actor walks upon the floodlit stage of life, wearing a mask of an angel beneath a demon's gown. Pretense smiles upon the crowded hall of life, holding out hope as bright as it is false. Son of a woman whose veins flows the blood of ancient Ireland, dark Africa's plains. You are Obama, nicknamed the Standing King. You are Barack, oh son born to deceive. The suffering hordes of Africa look up to you. See a black savior where naught but a Judas strides. An entrapper of nations, bringer of dismal war. Behind the robes and the nylon wings of hope. Oh, may those who look upon you see you as you are. May those who hope in you behold you as you be. A prince deceitful to bring down Africa's shrines. A siren who leads Africa's ships onto rocks of obliteration. Thank you.
Credo Madhwa is a Zulu shaman of international acclaim, and his predictions have been quite accurate. He's also blamed the AIDS virus in Africa on the AIDS vaccination, and believes that the what's happening is a genocide of Africa. And other wonderful thoughts. Getting to thoughts, that was kind of funny. I had a new thought the other day. I wrote an essay about it. The thoughts are like landmines. I never know when I'm going to think of a thought that will explode into an article or essay or picture or music. Some thoughts are like nuclear power thoughts that create a powerful explosion of works. And others are more like lightning, a fuse of small fireworks that ignite into multicolor emotions or ideas that explode in my mind and produce chain explosions of essays, songs, or pictures. Today my thoughts are revolving around my motivation. I am motivated to write an essay about thoughts. And experiences are wonderful things that we all have and think about. In fact, our experiences produce the majority of our thoughts and actions. I learned how to write and read, and those experiences have created countless thoughts and works. Today my thoughts are focused on my readers. I appreciate my readers. I enjoy sharing my thoughts with you. I appreciate my radio listeners for the same reason. Sharing thoughts is the only way people communicate. Without communicating our thoughts to someone, we are all alone and isolated from the world. Here in my study, I can communicate to thousands of people around the world without physically meeting them or publicly speaking to them in an auditorium. As I write my thoughts, I have the quietness of mind today to hear my heart speak to me. Today my thoughts are calm. My body and mind are rested from a night's sleep. I am not disturbing myself by thinking about all the terrible things happening around the world. I have shared my disturbing thoughts to my readers and radio listeners over the years. But today my thoughts are of peace, appreciation, and friendship. A good old friend contacted me on Facebook yesterday. He just joined and sent me a friend request. I was pleased to hear from him and immediately confirmed our friendship and sent him a picture of us both happy and shaking hands and smiling at a camera. I miss my old friends, but try not to impose on their lives. I never know if I'm too imposing or insensitive or intoxicated until I'm told I am. Some friends fall away and others move away. And others stay silent for long periods of time for some reason and do not respond to your messages until they are ready to speak to you. We are all this way to some degree. I will end this post today by saying hello to my friends and all who may have come to visit me after a long absence. I hope all is well with you and your families, whatever kept you away. It's now over. My best, Elias. There's a beautiful song I have, and I don't know if I'll be able to play it tonight. I love to play it. It's just been, it's a haunting song by a lady named Nina Conte, And it's a YouTube video that I posted on my site, and it's in Spanish. And the translation of the song, which is Tina Tanto Cuidarte, is They Had Both. And it's such a pretty song. I don't know if I can if it will play well on this. I hope it will. But I hope you enjoy it. It's a few minutes long. I hope you've enjoyed it. It's Playing for Change. It's on YouTube. Let's see if you can hear it. It's a beautiful... wanted to continue tonight with some of my work. I did a number of artwork this week too, this month. And if you go to my website, you can see it all. But there were several things that I wrote this week that, or the last couple of weeks, that I, there were a few revelations that came over me from a few things that I saw and read, and it was a really wonderful article, not article, video, that by Jordan Maxwell that I came across, and I was really like, wow, you know, really surprised, and really, really, kind of really threw me, you know. I posted it, 2 hours, I think it's called Astro Theology. But it talks about the premise of the all religions, similar to, actually there are actually 16 religions, identical to Christianity over the last 5,000 years, I guess. I'll get into that later. But this is something that I, this is an article that I wrote back on the 16th of June, about 10 days ago now. And I really aspired to do this. It says, "The world isn't real. We are. I've decided that the world isn't real. I am. I have disregarded everything I know about the world and realized that the only reason I ever knew about anything was because I learned it by visualizing it, or someone told me what I was seeing or hearing or feeling or smelling or tasting. All I know by my senses is whatever they tell me. But they tell me what I sense, and I decide what that is based upon what I've learned from someone else's description of a sensual experience or what it was I sensed. Someone came up with a word for all the five senses: taste, touch, sight, sound, and smell. We base our most common knowledge on verbal descriptions that we learn names for, that someone tells us. What if all collective knowledge that we take for granted is wrong? What if today was really tomorrow, and the future was the past, and the present doesn't exist? We were either in the future or the past because the present didn't exist yesterday, and the future is every second I live now. So in reality, there is no present. What is present except a name someone somewhere called something that does not exist? Why is so much weight given to something that doesn't exist and was named by someone no one knows and said to someone who no one else knows, yet what they said became the permanent name for the past, present, and future and everything else we speak about? The world vocabulary must be over 1 million words with different meanings to different people and hundreds of different ways to write those words, and many languages are not written. If I write Oma Kapana Chapana Mamuna Mamun, it might mean something to someone, and if I said it means I love you in the Kanga Munga Luna language, someone might believe me and repeat the word to someone else, and it becomes a new word. If I translate the word and place it in a new language dictionary, I make up, and it looks authentic enough, then some people will begin to use the word regularly in their own language, and it becomes a word of common usage, even though I made it up. All words were and are made up by someone and repeated, then become part of the common language. Are you aware that Shakespeare invented over 600 new words for the English language? Yeah, amazing, yeah. If sounds become words, or music and taste become memories, and touch become memories, and sight becomes memories, all we see and hear and taste and touch and smell are recognized by our memory of them and how someone else described them to us. Red is red and blue is blue. Unless the one who first described these colors was colorblind, and now the entire planet is confused by a wrong description of these colors. We need a common language to communicate to each other. However, there are so many languages, most people can't communicate with each other without a translator. And who knows if the translator really translates or is making words up and distorting the entire translation. Most translations do not do justice to the original language. So how can anyone expect to understand what someone else is saying or experiencing if they cannot understand what they are saying? Many people will read this essay and interpret it differently. Some may get the same message and translation, but others may get a different translation or interpretation and completely misunderstand what I'm saying. I speak to all who read and speak to all who hear. But what they hear and read is completely up to them. I believe if I speak from my heart, I will speak to all, to other hearts, and that will translate better than any translator. I strive to hear a beat and rhythm others will identify and understand. I try to express myself in words that are easy to understand and evoke greater heartfelt emotions and open expressions of honesty, love, truth, hate, confusion, disillusion, melancholy, anger, fear, surprise, appreciation, courage, honor, dishonor, shame, wrong, right, justice, injustice. These and many other emotions are described well through some words. However, where the words come from and how they are interpreted by others must be controlled by the universe. Otherwise, no one could understand anyone or anything. And why does mankind have so much faith in its own understanding of what reality is, when no one knows what it really is, because it is whatever we individually believe it to be? I am what I believe I am. You are what I believe you are. And everything exists in my reality as I understand it and recognize it. Reality is the same way for everyone. If we are to communicate it is only going to happen by my reality meeting yours and you accepting my reality because it resembles your own or inspires you to widen your reality by accepting mine. When we love, we speak to everyone. When we hate, we also speak to everyone. It is only when we are unemotional and clinical that we become unexpressionable and unimpressionable. We become dead. I have not died yet, but many people have, though they may believe they are still living in their reality. But in my reality, they are dead. And in other realities, they might as well be dead, because they add to or express nothing. And and therefore are dead to those they do not affect. So my advice to anyone is to be alive. Stay alive by meaning something to someone else besides yourself. Speak from your heart and you will be heard. Live with meaning to others and yourself. This is the only way life has meaning. This is the only way we communicate. Unrecognized celebrity. Maybe I've grown indifferent to celebrity culture, or maybe I ignore most of the mainstream news and network celeb shows, but it seems that lately I don't recognize any new celebrity, or rock star, or rap star, or actress or actor. Their faces and careers are all a big blur to me. I haven't seen a movie worth the price of admission in the last 10 years, and I think the last few actresses and actors I've heard about and recognized their names and faces were, well, I forgot what their names are, but I would recognize their faces if I saw them again. The cult of celebrity that has overwhelmed the world, or at least the U.S., is a strange religion, almost comparable to the Catholic Church, who has thousands of unknown saints and popes and celebrities throughout the last 2,000 years, who were famous once and then never heard again, unless they became the patron saints of some village or town in Europe or South America. The cult of celebrity is simply filling a need for the disenfranchised people of the world to worship someone. People will worship anything. In India, they have a temple and cult that worships rats. In other countries, people worship trees and rivers and mountains. The most common worshiping practices revolve around the sun and moon. The most well-known culture that worshiped the sun was the Egyptians, and the most well-known culture that worshiped the moon is the Jews. People will worship anything and anyone except themselves. People who need to worship feel so inferior and so disconnected from themselves that the last person they would idolize or give love and respect to is themselves. Christ was not a person. Christ is a concept of the completely enlightened person. Achieving Christhood is the highest enlightened state a human being can achieve. Why do people look at some bubble-headed, big-breasted bimbo or brain-dead bodybuilder as a goddess or a god to idolize when they are as good or better looking and more intelligent and talented than those they idolize? The cult of celebrity is the great masquerade that parades unknown actresses and actors and singers and people who have no talents, but the ability to create a mask that others believe are them or project them to be. I don't know, but a few real celebrities. And those are the people who do not hide behind masks. They are actors and actresses, activists and political leaders, singers and musicians and scholars and writers who may not be famous, but they are worthy of great fame. These are all the people of the world who believe in themselves and their skills and talents and worship no one or no religion except their own abilities and personhood, and strives throughout their lives to be the very best they can be in fulfilling their great destinies. Yeah, folks, that's what I think. That's what I think. There's so much going on. I wrote this article.
Famous during the Great Depression for having most creative
window dressing in the country. My grandfather was the window designer. He was also the guy who invented the famous footprints on the sidewalk, which led away from his competitor's department store to his department store. He changed jobs, as most people did during the Depression, but he was a loyal patron to the store until it changed management during the early 70s. His loyalty and patronage to the store and the family who started and ran this store for generations meant nothing to the new owners, who had grandiose ideas of modernizing the business and forgot that all of their business came from patrons like my grandfather. When he was greeted by the new store manager with contempt, stating that he was not with the times, and insulted the choice of, his choice of apparel, my grandfather simply asked if he carried a certain style of hat. My grandfather always wore a stylish man's hat. Well, my grandfather told him who he was and that he had worked for the former owners during the Depression as their window dresser and made them one of the most famous department stores in the country. And the manager laughed and pointed to a young girl who was dressing a mannequin in their store display and said, "She does your job now." Well, my grandfather told me how pissed off he got and nearly hit the guy when a young customer came in the door and a manager dismissed my grandfather and went over to greet the young man. Well, my grandfather made certain that everyone in earshot of the store, inside and outside that day, knew what a little man and idiotic ownership now managed the once great business. He stopped people in the street to tell them how terrible the place was, and all of his friends in town and former patrons like himself who had other bad things to say about the new owners. He made it his personal campaign to never set foot in the store again and to tell anyone and everyone to boycott the store. I guess I inherited his temper. I do the same thing as an activist that my grandfather did, but he would never allow anyone to call him an activist. He was an angry citizen who let those he was angry at know who he was and why he was angry at them. He would tell me, "What good does it do to hold your temper in? If they piss you off, tell them. And God damn them if they piss you off again for not listening to you the first time." When I think of my grandfather's temper and method of anger management, I wonder how God must think about his creation losing touch with him, even though he lives inside of us. He is in us, just as my grandfather's store was a part of him, because he took pride in the store's success for many generations, even though he worked for them for a few years during a time when work was nearly impossible to get, and loyalty and appreciation for an employee meant something to an employer during one of the most economically difficult times in world history. It meant a lot to my grandfather, many of the patrons of that once nationally famous, now closed department store. I think my grandfather would be happy to know the store only lasted in business a few years after his death, even though he predicted its failure many times. It was part of his forgotten legacy, except for this mention of his proud grandson. I know he would be proud if he knew my website is read by thousands of international readers in over 100 countries every month, and that a mention of a few of his life's many experiences would be known by people of this generation. We hate God when we hate ourselves, and love him when we love ourselves. I am certain that God lives within us all. But the reason he does not show himself to us in ways of kindness and love is because we show him no appreciation for his kindness and love. It is as simple as that. Love him and he loves you. Hate him and he will not show himself to you, except by his anger at you, because you are angry with yourself and will not accept his love and compassion. He angers because someone that he loves refuses to love him simply by loving themselves and others. How difficult is it to love yourself? Today, the age of materialism is promoted by mass media, manipulation of news and fashion, and the cult of celebrity and fabricated expectations of people. The world has turned away from the simple expectations of the one who created them, which are a simple smile at our children or a kind word to our parents or our friends and neighbors. Why is it so hard for someone to be friendly with someone else? This day of social networks, where people can have 5,000 friends and know none of them, is ridiculous and an abomination of the meaning of friendship. How many friends or followers on Facebook or Twitter would lend their friends or followers a dime if they were in need? Or how many would defriend you if you shared an honest opinion of your political views or religious views, or Obama forbid, disagree with the government? What a farce this entire worldview has become. We are completely manipulated by false religions, false prophets, false advertisements, false news, false teeth, false hair, false food, false flag operations, falsehoods of every conceivable kind run rampant across the world, created by the creator of a great creation, once known as humanity. There are many billions of great and wonderful people who are living now and have lived in the past, and those people who have died are calling out from their graves to their ancestors living today to cherish the God within them and cherish who they are, not what they are told to be. The world is ending as we once knew it. But in the arrival of the Aquarian Age, a promise has been made by our Creator. He claims this period in time will be the period of the return of Christ to earth. He does not mean Jesus. He means Christ. Christ is in every man, woman, and child living today and throughout history. Christhood is the perfection of man, what their potential is, as the sons and daughters of a proud Father Creator. I must make note for my readers to review my post on Jordan Maxwell's lecture on astrotheology, posted today on this website. It articulately explains how 16 major religions, including Christianity, has had the same Christ story to explain the true Word of God and His plan for His creation as a metaphorical symbol of man's greatness within himself, and that every man has God in him and is capable of achieving Christhood. That time prophesied since the beginning of creation has come. As Santa is coming to town is sung by Christian children throughout the English-speaking world. Let a new song be sung by all children throughout the world, entitled Christ is Coming to the World. They will sing it in a voice that will reach their Father in heaven, because they know He is inside them, listening to them sing. I got a few more minutes to the show. On June 7th, I wrote, said the NSA, what the fuck? How much do they know? This is when Snowden broke the ice. This has been a very, very, very busy month. A lot of things have happened this month. I started this off with parody. Well, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound of a private phone call listened to by the NSA. My privacy was once protected by the Bill of Rights. Now it is lost and will never be found. That was my short parody of a famous hymn. I feel violated today, since I realized yesterday that every conversation I've had on the phone or internet, and everything I've read or searched for on the internet has been recorded and listened to by my government since the passing of the Patriot Act and establishing of the surveillance program, PRISM, in 2007. I have always tried to limit my phone activity. I do not own a phone, a cell phone, and I'm careful with websites I read and what information I search for and where. If I can find what I want through conventional means like books, magazines, newspapers, or mail subscriptions, or newsletters, I much prefer to use them. There are great advantages of cell and wireless technology and electronic banking and all of the modern conveniences. But the downside of our technological revolution is the menacing access it provides for ruthless governments to spy on their citizens and parasitic corporations to spy on their customers or potential customers by invading their private phone calls and emails and internet search activities. As of June 1st, 2013, Yahoo has given their email users 30 days to accept their new privacy rules. They give Yahoo complete access to review all private emails for government and commercial purposes. Many people will say they don't have anything to hide, but they are the most confused, naive, and idiotic, abused people in the world, and they don't even know it. They say, I must be really important if the NSA wants to listen to my phone calls. Well, these poor, deluded fools don't have a clue who is listening to them or how that information will be used against them, either by a parasitic corporation who wants to sell them a caffeine-loaded soft drink or a ruthless genocidal government or a military and intelligence agency that needs to reduce the growing radicalized U.S. population and eliminate the most useless, harmful, or costly people in the country. They can know all of this simply by accessing their phone and internet history to make their case against the homegrown terrorists or the useless eaters. I am a public figure. I have been for many years. My articles are read by hundreds of thousands of people, and my name and website and radio show are prominently and deliberately promoted on the internet. It is my business, but I know I am being read and listened to because I do everything in my power to do so. But my public life is not my personal life. I'm still on, which I hope I am, still being recorded. Looks like I am. Yes. I will continue. I am a public... My public life is not my personal life, even though most of what I say on my website and radio show is archived and proof that my ideas and philosophy are radical. They are anti-religion, anti-government, anti-Israel, anti-genocide, anti-GMO, anti-Monsanto, anti-Obama, anti-Congress, and the Supreme Court, anti-mainstream media. My right to free speech is still protected, but my right to free assembly and access to the mainstream media and major publishers have been severely challenged, and my writing and radio shows have been censored. I edit my own work and take responsibility for my statements I make or the spelling errors I make, just as I take personal responsibility for keeping a clear and focused view of all that threatens my life, my freedoms, my country, world justice, and world environment. If believing in truth, justice, freedom, and destruction of all tyrannical governments and greed-driven CEOs whose entire business plans are designed to most efficiently rape and pillage the natural environment and murder and disable billions of people around the world by wars, pollution, political bribery, and financial enslavement, that I am guilty because I answer to a higher moral authority. The Obama administration, in my estimation, is the most tyrannical in U.S. history. Other presidents who overstepped constitutional boundaries were G.W. Bush, who has been indicted by world courts as a war criminal for his criminal actions against Iraq and Afghanistan soldiers and civilians. President Lincoln, when this country was undergoing civil war, and President Franklin Roosevelt was accused of dictatorship when the U.S. was in financial ruin, and we survived without an NSA or Department of Homeland Security. Andrew Jackson rid the U.S. of enslavement by eliminating a central banking system like the Federal Reserve, but designed and ruthlessly implemented the state-sponsored genocide of American Indians. Obama has done nothing of value for the U.S. during his two terms. Instead, he has deliberately furthered the erosion of American liberties and has allowed the destruction of our middle class and the theft of the American treasury by his criminal bankster cronies, who financed his election for his betrayal of this country. Times have changed, but people haven't. The enslavement of the world population to a criminal elite has never been so real. The economic devastation caused by the last two presidents and the 100-year enslavement of the U.S. by the Federal Reserve, allowed by every president in Congress since 1913, has destroyed the U.S. Every freedom an individual or nation is willing to give up for expedience, ignorance, or false security is one step closer to their unlawful imprisonment and enslavement. There are still billions of people around the world who did not care about these violations of their privacy by the NSA or their own tyrannical governments. And millions of Americans are too foolish and apathetic to take notice of the violations of their right to privacy all around them and will remain ignorant until their rights are stolen, all of their rights are stolen. And real patriots are concerned Americans, but must take back. Let me read that again. Real patriots, as concerned Americans, must take back their freedom and government by demanding Congress repeal the Patriot Act and every other unconstitutional act, including the Federal Reserve Act, that are designed to enslave us. And, you know, with that, I'm going to
continue here with something else, if you can excuse me one second. I have to I'm going to try to get back into my computer system. I'm operating now on strictly on an iPad. Both my other computers have been closed. My other one, my laptop seems to have come back. My other one I've kept closed because it's constantly being spiked, and there's no reason for it. Just there's somebody out there is deliberately spiking my computer, and trying to get onto. Let me just see if I can get back to. here.
I hope you enjoyed that song. That was a great song, wasn't it?
I find myself really enjoying, I put a lot of YouTube videos up on my website, and I hope you enjoy it too. Good on everybody. Just trying to see if I'm still on the air or not. I think I am. I won't know until I can get back into my studio, which just blasted me out of my own studio. So, bear with me, folks. The conspiracy is real. Conspiracy is real. And I'm not really sure if I understand why they would want to come after a guy like me. Hey, I'm one of those guys who just doesn't want to conform, you know? I refuse to be quiet. Hang on one second here. I'll let you know if we are still recording. One second. I think I am. As far as I can tell, I am, but must be not. I think Blog Talk's been compromised as well. Seems that way. I just got blasted out again. And I'm still on the air, yes. That's great, that's great. They didn't knock me off. It made me look like I have been, but I am not. Official time is way past my time. But I want to thank everybody who joined me tonight and who bear with me. I was hacked again 3 times in the last hour. And both my computers we're knocked off the air, so I'm having some problems here, and it's not a computer issue. It's a it's being spiked, you know. So, but I want to thank everybody for joining me. Please tell your friends about the show. Go to my website, by the way, lasteelshow.org, and you can review everything. And I want to especially mention that Jordan Maxwell's a lecture on astrotheology. Okay, it's on June 8th. Okay, so you can go through that. Just go into the search part of my website and put in, Jordan Maxwell's lecture, I think, on astrotheology. Okay, that's on June 8th. And it's a wonderful thing, wonderful piece, and I highly recommend it. Plus, if you're interested in Eric Snowden's adventures, I have a couple of videos on that, as well as the original whistleblower from who designed the actual one of the designed in I believe in 1999 to the year 2000. He was the original designer of Stellar Wind, which was the grandfather, which was the father, which was the original spy
program, surveillance program. He designed it and implemented it and started up. And then after 9/11, 2001, Dick Cheney ordered that that it be used on all Americans as well, on domestic as well as foreign surveillance, and that's when it began. And then George Bush said nothing to anybody about it, that he was spying on all Americans, and Obama continued spying on all Americans, never said a word about it. Nobody was in blue until Edward Snowden came in and blew the whistle. The original guy, actually, his name is Winnie. He actually did go to the media, did break loose on that, and said that they were domestic spying. But the media ignored him totally, and nobody pressed any charges against him, and they ignored him like he was a crazy guy, and then he had to resign. But make a long story short, that's what happened. So you can get that information on my website, too. So I want to thank everybody who joined me tonight. Thanks for bearing with me through the technical difficulties. And if anybody's proof that somebody's coming after you, it's me, and I'm not being paranoid. I mean, they just whacked me 3 times in the last hour. But thank God I had 3 computers to work with. So I want to thank everybody. Have a pleasant evening. And by all means, watch you back. Watch you back. Good night, folks.